What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans Vason, it's Jürgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, the home of data-driven employer branding. Today, we're talking to a leading provider of integrated human capital management solutions. So I would venture to guess that some of our dear listeners might actually be using this company, this vendor. We're going to learn about how they got about setting up an employer brand function, as well as having some really interesting ideas for activating the employer brand. So let's start the show. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I am doing well this morning. How are you, Jorgen?
I am fantastic, thank you. Now, please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
Yes. So my name is Deborah Luna. I'm the employer brand manager here at Paycheck, and I am here to talk to you guys about EVP, activation of that EVP, and all things employer branding. So I'm really excited to be here.
Fantastic. That's what we want to hear. And first of all, what is Paychex, and also what is it not?
Fair question. So Paychex is an HCM company. So what that means, we love an acronym here. So HCM is human capital management. So we say that we handle everything from hire to retire. So if you're a small, mid-size, or larger business owner or business leader, and you're looking for things like time and attendance solutions, applicant tracking systems, retirement services support, health and benefits support, merchant services, really all of those touch points throughout the human capital life cycle, those are all solutions that we offer to companies small and large. We are based in Rochester, New York, which is where I am located, but we are nationwide, and we have some international presence as well. We have about 16,000 employees, and we have been in business coming up on 50 years next year. 2021 will be our 50-year anniversary, so we're really excited to celebrate that.
Wow, okay, I can imagine you're already planning the campaigns around that. And so that's really interesting.
Yes, the conversations have begun.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because some of our listeners may actually be using Paychex, or they might be shopping around for a system like yours. So I'm sure your marketing team are really excited about having you on a podcast today.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm excited to be here to talk about it.
Great, great. So, right. So what might the talent challenge be for Paychex?
Oh, so that's a very good question. So I think, you know, a lot of people are probably answering this with the easy answer, which is that, you know, it is a very tight labor market. So whether it's here in Rochester or really company-wide, our markets are oversaturated with job opportunities and undersaturated with talent in many cases, because candidates are finding positions that are a fit for them and then staying with those companies for longer periods of time. So, you know, I think for us, some of the challenges that we face are just finding that right cultural fit. So we talk about the will fit and the can fit, you know, who has the skills and then who has the will to do the job. So culture is a big part of what makes employees successful here at Paychex. We have a very tight-knit culture. Even for 16,000 employees, we're often told that it feels more like a family, which as you get into a larger company is sort of unusual. But that's something that's very, not only passionate, not only do we have a passion around that from an HR perspective and a hiring perspective, but all the way up to our CEO, ensuring that we're really instilling that small company feeling in our employees is important to us. We don't want people to feel like they're just a cog in a very large machine. So making sure that the folks that we bring in really fit into that value set is really important to us. So, you know, we do have very, you know, comprehensive interview process to ensure that not only is it a fit for the candidate, but it's a fit for us as well. And then I think also, as we're looking at the growth of our organization, we are now a technology company. So very cloud-based, very leading-edge technology that we're providing to our client base. And so as we grow in the tech space, we're differentiating ourselves or trying to differentiate ourselves from maybe where we came from being, you know, a service company, and that will always be at the forefront of what we do. But I think really trying to get our name out there as being a technology company first. And, you know, we're starting to make some pretty big waves in that arena. We were recently awarded being one of Fortune Magazine's 2020 Most Admired Companies, which was a big win for us. And we were really proud of that accomplishment. And then also being named as one of Fortune Magazine's Future 50 Companies with Best Position for Growth. Those are some ways that we're meeting the challenges that we're facing. But, you know, I do think that the labor market is probably front of mind for everyone right now.
Yes, agreed. Absolutely. Please tell us about the strategy around employer brand and perhaps even how the function came about.
Yeah, so it actually sort of came about organically. So prior to my role, I was a recruiter here, and I was recruiting for a number of years, specifically for our sales organization. And every large company has a sales team. So recruiting for sales talent was increasingly challenging, and differentiating ourselves, like, why would someone who's selling at one company want to come and sell for Paychex? We started probably about, I want to say 4 years ago. My manager at the time was having a conversation with me. She knew that I had a sort of creative mindset. And she said, we need to start doing some things on social media that really tell people why they should work here. Not only that we have positions available and that we're hiring in certain markets, but that, you know, kind of show them that whiff of, you know, what makes Paychex such a great place to work. So me and a counterpart of mine on my team sort of put our heads together, and we started creating these really like guerrilla style memes that as I look back at them, moderately embarrassing, but, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know. this time. And so we created some rudimentary social media graphics that our recruiters could share just to start to talk about Paychex in a different way and talk about the culture and talk about all the cool things that employees get as a benefit of working at Paychex. And as we started doing that more and driving the conversation more, we started to see some ROI in applicant traffic, in response rates to direct sourced candidates or folks that our recruiters were reaching out to and cold calling to. So we started to see a shift in people responding and saying, oh yeah, I see the stuff you put on LinkedIn, or I see people talking about Paychex on Facebook or what have you. So once that snowball effect started, I was at a conference with my then director and another manager on my team. And the speakers and the keynote folks that were at that particular conference kept saying recruitment marketing and employer branding and recruitment marketing. They kept using these phrases, and they looked at me across the table and they were like, that's what you're doing right now. That's the stuff you're doing in addition to recruiting. And so the decision was made at that point that if we wanted to stay leading edge with the way that we were approaching recruiting, this needed to be a full-time function. And so we came back to our office, and conversations happened throughout the leadership organization, and a job description was created, a job title was created, and then I applied as we do here, and I had, you know, some interviews, and here I am. And so I've been in the role for coming up on 3 years this summer, and it's been a pretty impactful role, I think, within the organization, because it's definitely changing the way conversations happen around recruiting, not only at the recruiter level, but at the hiring manager level as well. You know, gone are the days that we can just post a job posting or a requisition and hundreds of qualified candidates come flooding through the door. You know, we're really teaching our hiring managers that you need to nurture your audience and your followers and the people who are listening to you. And you need to be providing valuable content and valuable thought leadership for them to come to and to hear from you, so that when you do have a position open and they are looking, and that, you know, perfect storm happens, that timing syncs up, you know, they know to come look at Paychex.
Great. And have you defined an EVP? And in the, if so, what does it look like? And how can you break it down for us?
Yeah. So a few years ago, we did do a company-wide project to determine our employee value proposition. And the pillars that we determined through that project were organizational stability, career growth opportunity, and work-life balance. And I think that those still ring pretty solid to where we are today, even though we haven't kind of gone back and reevaluated if those still are the pillars that make the most sense for us. But we did, just this past year, we launched a partnership with The Muse. And through our partnership with them, and if anyone's listening and wants to go check us out, you can check us out at payx.me/themuse. But through that partnership, we completed what they call the brand builder activity, which is sort of a survey that you can conduct of a slice of your employees to make sure that your finger is on the pulse of what they feel Paychex delivers. And the key employee experience attributes that they called out were collaboration, support, innovation, and respect. And I think, you know, and specifically innovation and respect, those actually, and collaborative too, for that matter, are actually all Paychex values. So we have 6 company-wide values, and the 3 that I mentioned sync up with those values. So partnership is a value of ours, innovation is, and so is respect. And then the other 3 are integrity, service, and accountability. And hearing from our employees that not only is this what we're striving toward and aspiring to, but it's also what we are living every day was sort of a reinforcement of that EVP.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned the Muse there. So that's part of activation. Where else are you activating your employer brand in recruitment marketing?
So we have a pretty robust catalog of recruitment marketing materials that our hiring managers and recruiters and really all of our employees can activate in their own social media ecosystems. And we share, different quote graphics and white papers and infographics and, you know, different pieces of content that we think are pretty influential to people understanding or candidates understanding what Paychex is all about from a career perspective. So that's one way. Another way is recently we, just about a year ago, we started a culture podcast. So we have a culture podcast here at Paychex called Culture Unfiltered. It's publicly facing and available to all, and it's actually now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well as Podbean. And so that culture podcast invites senior leaders, executives, and also individual contributors within our organization to come in and chat with us in a deeper, more meaningful way about our values and about how people show up to those values every day. And we've been able to have some pretty impactful and fun conversations with leaders in the organization that the better part of our 16,000 employees might never interact with personally. So it's really been a nice way for us to sort of lift the curtain a little bit and introduce those people to not only the Paychex audience, but the audience at large. And I'm the host of that. So come listen. Because I think it's really good. You're one of the hosts. I have a very, hilarious co-host named Kevin Aubrey, who is my partner in crime. So that's another way that we activate. We also do a lot of internal training around the power of a personal brand and how that is influential both in a candidate-driven market and a client-driven or a company-driven market. So we try to nurture that education. It's a long game, right? So we try to remind managers that you're not going to post a single infographic and suddenly have hundreds of employees knocking down your door to work on your team. You have to, you know, you really cultivate that audience over time so that, as I mentioned earlier, when that perfect storm of the person is looking and you have a position open, that conversation can sort of effortlessly take place. So that's another way that we activated. And then we also do some demand gen or candidate gen campaigning. So we have a talent network that we monthly send out content to. And that content is meant to be sort of developmental to the person receiving it. It's not meant to be self-serving to say, we're hiring, come work for us, because of course we're hiring and we're growing and that will always be the case. But it's more so meant to be, hey, how can we share what our values are to help you be better in your day-to-day? So the campaigns that we send out are really focused on simple things you can adopt in your day-to-day life to live the Paychex values, which we think, just forgetting about Paychex for a second, we just think as human beings in the world are values that are important. So that's another way that we sort of activate that. And of course, in those campaigns, we're sharing some other content. We share our podcast links and social media links and things. So if people are interested in learning more about us, that information is there for them. But those are a couple of the big ways I think that we do some pretty solid work around the activation of that brand.
Yeah, sounds like it. And I was keen to understand about these content pieces you mentioned there. So you come some way from the guerrilla memes, but some of the best performing pieces of content that you equip your staff to use?
The ones that seem to get the most response are the stories and the perspectives of our employees. So right now we are rolling out a campaign in celebration of Black History Month. So February is Black History Month. And so we've reached out to 10 of our African-American leaders in the organization, all the way from our executive team to individual contributors in the organization. And we've asked them for their perspective on why diversity and inclusion is important and the role that it plays in paychecks and the role that it plays in their day-to-day life and how important it is to have a culture of inclusion and have a culture of diversity and the value add to not only our day-to-day lives, providing services to our clients, but, you know, again, just as people, right? Just how do we interact as people? You know, Paychex is a company that thrives off of making people's lives better and easier and more simple. Those types of pieces of content, the quotes from our military veterans, the quotes from, you know, our employees that started out as interns and were recently hired, those tend to get the most amount of impact or yield the most amount of impact. Yeah. I think because people like to hear from real people. And so that's been a really big focus of ours as we create our content. We, as much as we possibly can, and I would say we're pretty close to 100% of the time doing this, we use photos of real employees, you know, in our videos, the extras, the people on camera, all of the people involved are Paychex employees. So, you know, that authenticity matters a great deal to us.
Great. Okay. So that's what's most popular for sharing. Now, my follow-up question has to be, who's best at sharing this type of content? What sort of roles or functions? Or what are the usual suspects?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer for that is recruiters because they know that the value of, and I think they're the most active in the space, right? So if we're thinking specifically about like LinkedIn as an example, I mean, they're living and breathing in that space throughout their day. So I think that's a very strong audience. I have to say, I do think that a lot of our hiring managers, there's a pretty big handful of them that are really good at not only sharing, you know, Paychex marketing content that will benefit them from a sales perspective or, you know, technology growth perspective, but they are pretty darn good at sharing their employee stories, their celebrations, their, you know, their team work. So far, we've talked a lot about things that we're creating and providing. But one of the things that's actually really cool that I've seen over the last couple of years is the employee generated content. So those things that I don't make here and put a logo on, but, you know, it's just sort of that organic driven content from the frontline leaders or from the employees themselves. So just a couple of weeks ago at the end of January, so our selling season, what we call selling season, is typically like that December, January timeframe, because that's when business owners are looking at their budget for the year. They're making their shifts on technology. That's typically the time when our sales reps are the busiest. And so they made a decision throughout our entire small business division to do a nationwide day of caring. This wasn't something that was manufactured from the employer brand side. We didn't say, hey, this will look really great on LinkedIn. We need to, you know, it didn't come from that. It came from this feeling of, hey, January is going to be crazy. We know that, right? We know you guys are going to be running 1,000 miles an hour. Let's end the month by celebrating and giving back and focusing on what's really important, which is helping someone else. And so on that January 31st, that last day of the month, every single small business team across the country did something in their local community, whether it was volunteering at an animal shelter, packing up lunches for underprivileged youth in inner cities, working at food banks, working at children's hospitals, cleaning up gardens in their neighborhood. The service project varied from large to small, and everyone took to social media, took to LinkedIn, took to their own, you know, Instagram pages or their own personal channels, and they shared their stories of, hey, this is how we are coming together as a team and we're doing something that helps our communities be better places to live and to work. It was a tidal wave of content that came through. And I just got to sit on the sidelines and watch it. And I reshared a bunch of it to our company Instagram page, which is at Inside Paychex. It's in our highlight reel, our Paychex Cares highlight reel. So you can check them out. But I mean, it just was really uplifting to see that level of commitment and just to see all the different ways that our employees showed they cared. It was really, really quite motivating and heartwarming.
Absolutely. And just, I need to ask you about this podcast. You mentioned you've had some senior leaders on there. Have you managed to get the C-level themselves? Have you got the CEO on an episode?
Not to spoil it, but the CEO will be on our June episode. So we are in the process of rolling out some new branding for our culture shaping, if you will, or our culture, the culture that we drive internally. So every month we focus on a different one of our values company-wide, and we have a lot of culture content that goes along with that, the podcast being one of those pieces of content. Marty Musi will be on in June, which we're pretty excited about. He's coming into the studio to sit down with us in May. So we had Tom Hammond, who's our VP of Corporate Strategy and Product Development. He actually, one of his episode was one of my favorites, I have to say, because he brought in a lot of perspective. He's been with the company for 30 years and just has a ton of, you know, history with the organization. So his conversation was really cool. We had Ted Jordan, who's a VP of our service organization. That was another conversation that was really impactful. And we touched on, you know, his passion for service and how it was sort of, it was part of his upbringing. Both of his parents were people who gave back, as my daughter calls them, helpers. So we talked a lot about how he sort of grew up in a philosophy of service and how that's sort of translated into his day-to-day. We had Lori Zuka on, who's a VP of our Human Resources and Organizational Development organization, which is the organization that I'm in. So she's my senior leader. So we have had the executive suite. We have Marty coming in, as I mentioned, in June, which we're really excited about. So yeah, so we're bringing in the big guns. We're getting the VIPs in, but also we want to hear from the people, you know, in the middle of that structure, and also the individual contributors. So it's really run the gamut of everyone from individual contributors all the way up to the top of the chain.
I was just discussing this with a client yesterday who started a podcast, and they were talking about strategy. We discussed his strategies, how to get the CEO to join it. She's very reluctant to even give interviews on the TV and so on. They're working their way up to that. And I saw, actually, I think it was Dell that just launched a new series of employee videos. And the first one, the nice one at least, had Michael Dell in it.
So, very cool.
Yeah, made by our friends at Stories Incorporated. So I think if you can get senior leaders in there, then it just adds so much more interest. And then everyone wants to be on the format.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely does. And then they start talking to each other about, oh, I was on the podcast. And we try to keep it fun and conversational. You know, we ask them some icebreaker questions like, you know, what was the first concert you went to? Or if you were a Muppet, what Muppet would you be? Just to kind of break the ice and see a side of them that most employees don't get to see. So, you know, we try to keep it fun and entertaining. And like I said earlier, you know, Kevin, my co-host, and I, we're a little goofy, and we try to do a little fun intro for every episode with some silly shtick. So we try to keep it interesting and fun, you know, try to mix it up.
Definitely the Cookie Monster for me then.
Very interesting. Good answer.
Yeah. I mean, that was basically my diet from 0 to 15. Moving on to measurement. So how do you look at measuring your success with Employer Brand? What sort of metrics do you report on?
Oh, that's such a good question, and probably the hardest one for me to answer. And I think our philosophy on this is shifting a little bit, but I mean, some of the out of the gate things, the low hanging fruit in the reporting space are, you know, what's our cost per hire? Are we driving that number? Are we being more efficient in our turn, you know, time to hire? How many candidates, you know, what's the ratio of candidates, the interviews to hire, some of those ratios? Also just tenure in general. So, you know, once we recruit people in, are they sticking around? Did we do a proper job in our interview, setting the expectation of what the role is like and assessing that will fit and skill fit? So that's another one that we look at. We look at source of hire. But interestingly, the source of hire one, our philosophy on that is sort of shifting a little bit. I think in years past, we've had a philosophy that a direct source candidate was the gold standard. You know, if they're actively, or if they're currently working, they are successful in their day job, they're not looking, and you get them on the horn and you convince them or influence them to explore an opportunity at Paychex. I think we held to some degree that conversation at a different standard than maybe someone who came through in a different method. And I think now that we're seeing the power and the influence that employer brand has, ultimately it will lead to hopefully more qualified and skill fit and will fit candidates being attracted and potentially applying directly or reaching out directly to a recruiter or a hiring manager to generate a conversation. So I think we're starting to see a little bit of that shift in the way that we look at what makes a recruiter successful, what makes the work that we're doing successful. You know, I was at a conference and someone said something that was pretty impactful to me. They said, you know, your employer brand should repel just as effectively as it attracts. So you should have such a clear commitment to what your employer brand messaging is that a candidate can very clearly see themselves at your company or see that it's not the place that they will thrive. You know, and maybe in some cases we do need to, nurture those conversations, or if there's a misconception of what we're all about or what Life at Paychex is about, we do have some opportunity to approach that and have a conversation. And then sentiment analysis as well. That's how we're seeing, you know, if the work that we're doing is making the right impact across social media, if we're getting positive engagement, you know, we do use social listening tools and, I work really closely with our marketing partners on not only what's the sentiment about our products and services, but what are employees saying, what are candidates saying about their experiences with us and some of the other partnerships we have with sites like Glassdoor and Indeed, and hearing directly from candidates that way. So, you know, you kind of have to puzzle piece it all together. There's no one sort of silver bullet that says, well, this is how you know what you're doing is working. So you kind of have to start to tell stories based on, the different data points that you can pull. So those are some of the ways out of the gate that we're looking at.
Great. Okay. Yeah, you've been doing this for a while now. What would be some of your top tips to other practitioners out there?
I would say if you're listening to this and the role doesn't exist at your company, start doing the work and showing the value of the work. You know, even if there's not a formal job title that supports it, the work is really critical. And so, you know, if you're if you're a recruiter and this isn't part of your day-to-day responsibilities to sort of influence change and creating an environment where employee-generated content is seen as valuable, start showing through your efforts that it is. So start putting content out there, telling stories. You don't have to worry about, oh, it's not, you know, if it's branded or if it has a logo on it, just start telling stories. Start taking pictures at events. Start, you know, sharing your experiences. I see a lot of, response to those storytelling types of posts. So that would be the first thing. The second thing would be educate yourself. There are so many fantastic resources out there to learn about what makes an employer brand program successful. And there have been people well before me in the space that have been doing this for a while. And so learn from them. You know, we are sort of a unique community in that in many companies, we're one person armies. I know at my company, mm-hmm. that's the truth. It's just me. So we need to sort of broaden out or stretch out to the other organizations that have these functions. And so this podcast is a great resource for that. The Talent Brand Podcast is another resource to listen to. There's a Facebook group called the Talent Brand Alliance, which I'm a member of, and Jorgen, I believe you're a member of as well. I think you were a keynote speaker. I was actually kind of bummed I wasn't able to make it across the pond to see you speak at the last summit in London, but I will be there in Austin this spring. So I'm excited for that. You know, it just brings a couple hundred people in this role together for a very, sort of comprehensive conversation about the work that we do. So I would say build your network, trust the network, because we're all in this together and we're all figuring it out as we go. So that would be another way, another tip. And then I would also recommend that people start, you know, branching out to other organizations in their company and setting up time to understand the unique cultures of the different teams that the recruiters that, that are in the organization are supporting. You know, it can be easy to keep yourself in a silo and not understand that, you know, maybe there is a unique EVP for each organization. Maybe there's a different culture in each organization or a sort of a personality of the culture that you want to be able to speak to. So I think getting as close to being a subject matter expert as you can in the, you know, unique environments within your organization, whether it's a large company or small, I think is valuable because then you start to be seen as a peer who understands and not just, you know, someone from HR who's requiring you to post more on LinkedIn. you know, I think that that helps the conversation of, you know, well, why should I do this and what's the value add and, you know, why does it matter? I think that helps when you understand where they're coming from and you put yourselves in their shoes so that you can say, listen, I know that it's a tight labor market, or I know that we're rolling out a new technology and there's some change management happening or whatever the case may be. I think that that helps you get a seat at the table to have those conversations. So those would be my tips. And listen to Culture Unfiltered. That's another resource. Not really about employer branding, but just about entertainment. So,
Okay, and you mentioned that this you're a unique army of one. So I would say this is a very unique function in most companies. And what to you, Deborah, what is it that makes it so special?
Man, oh, so good. So I love that I get to help tell employee stories. That is the best part of my job. When I hear from someone, when I learn that they've been with the company for 15 years, that they met their spouse here, that they, you know, left the military and weren't sure what was next. And then a recruiter from Paychex reached out to them and they saw the transferable skills that that veteran had. And now they've been here for a couple of years and have never felt more at home at a company. Those employee stories are really just what keeps it all moving forward for me. And it's been such a pleasure in my role to be able to meet so many people through my role that I wouldn't maybe normally have met. Folks in our Phoenix office, folks in one of our regional service centers across the country, just people that, you know, in a company with 16,000 plus employees, you don't get to say hi to everybody every day. So it's been a really nice opportunity for me to meet some people and hear some stories. When I was a kid, my dream job was to be a talk show host. And this is about as close as I can get to doing that. Yes. This is the closest I can get without, you know, actually being on network television. So,
yeah, great. Okay. Final question then. Where can our listeners learn more? Where can they find the podcast? And if they're interested in the services for HR?
Yeah. So head on over to paychex.com for if you're a business owner or if you're looking for any of our products and services. There is a ton of information. You can read all about our awards and accolades. You can meet our executive team. To learn more about careers at Paychex, you can head on over to paychex.com/careers, where you will find out about our culture and, you know, what different opportunities are available at Paychex. And then, as I mentioned, the Culture Unfiltered podcast is available on Apple and Spotify. You can also check it out and follow us on social media as well. So we can be found on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of your social media outlets. Come find us. We are waiting to chat with you.
So we're not short on options, eh? Great.
No, we're everywhere. We're always and always. Yes.
Love it. Okay, well, thank you so much, Deborah. This has been really useful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jorgen. I appreciate the time.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Be sure to tune in to Deborah's podcast when you run out of episodes of this podcast, of course. Reach out to her on LinkedIn as well. Make sure you thank her so much. And if you'd like to subscribe to this very podcast, you can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and all the usual places. Now, finally, if you would like to inject a bit of science into all that hard work you do day in and day out in the employer branding trenches, then check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our way of measuring the employer brand of an organization. So we can go in, do a baseline of your organization as well as your competitors, and then you do all that great work, we come back in and measure again, and there is your ROI. We can show you numerically data-driven results right there. Check that out at employerbrandindex.co. And that was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time.
There are two muffins and they're baking in the oven. And then one muffin turns to the other muffin and says, hey, is it getting hot in here or is it just me? And the other muffin turns to him and says, oh my gosh, a talking muffin.